الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سورة الفرقان اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن اراد ان يذكر او اراد شكورا وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الارض هونا واذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم ان عذابها كان غراما انها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين اذا انفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله الها اخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله الا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى ساما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك المؤمنين آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As I told you in the previous lesson, we are at this time in the third part of the selected course of study of the Quran which we are discussing in this series of lectures. In the first part, we had four lessons which had a comprehensive view of the duties of a Muslim or the conditions for salvation, prerequisites of success in the hereafter. Then the second section, we discussed many aspects of Iman, the synthesis of Iman and the effects and results of real Iman. Now this is the third section. In this section we are discussing the details of Amal Salih. I have discussed what this term of Quran, Al-Amal Salih, means. And we are beginning with the Amal Salih regarding a human individual character. What type of an individual character Quran envisages? What type of human being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, likes and loves. And this lesson also has two parts. Firstly, we discussed in the previous lesson the fundamentals, the foundations on which the character of a true mu'min can be built. And now in this lesson, we will have a glimpse of the salient features of the characters of a Muslim, fully reformed mu'min, a mature mu'min. What are the salient features of his character, his behavior, how he looks like? So actually, this is the second lesson of our third part, and this will give us the highest qualities that a mu'min should have in his character, in his behavior. Now, because I want to complete this lesson, it's quite a lengthy one, in only one session in 1 hour. So I'll have to be brief. Some of the ayat which are included in this section, these are 17 ayat. The first two, they concern about iman. Last one also concerns and deals with one aspect of iman, and that is the institution of messengerhood of Allah. About these things we have discussed beforehand. In the previous section, we have gone into details. So only brief references would suffice. Then we have to fix our gaze and focus our attention to the salient features of the character of a person, a mu'min, who is liked by Allah and who is loved by Allah. That is why you must have noted during the recitation, وَالَّذِينَ وَالَّذِينَ وَالَّذِينَ, and those and those and those who have these qualities, who have these qualities in their character, whose behavior is like this. And for them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has given a title, Ibadur Rahman. The true bondsmen of Rahman. Who are they? What do they look like? What are their qualities? But first of all, we have to start from the very first word. Tabarakalladhi ja'ala fis samai buruja. Hallowed and blessed is he who built constellations or fortifications in the heavens. Now, tabaraka, actually what this means, I understand in Arabic, in Urdu. But what is the most appropriate word in English, I can't decide. Allama Muhammad Asad has translated it as, hallowed is he. The rest of the translators use, blessed is he. But I want to give you the essence of what is barakah. What is mubarak? Mubarak is a shay in Arabic language, which can bring about an inherent good, which is already present in someone. That is inherent, already present in potential form. But that activates it, brings it out. So, ma mubaraka, this is rain water. When it falls on earth, all that fertility in the earth, it comes out. So, ma mubaraka is bringing out what is there inherent in the earth. In the same way, Quran is mubarak. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Why is it Mubarak? Because what we have within our own selves, our essential ego, our essential self, the divine element in us, Quran activates it, brings it out, develops it. So this is actually the concept of Mubarak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, He has all the barakah, He can bring out all good in everything, every person, which is inherent in him or in it. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي جَعْلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا. Hallowed is he, or blessed is he, Mubarak is he, who built in the skies constellations, or the fortifications. The true meaning of these words we can't understand up till now. But Quran tells us there are some places in these heavens where the jinns, they are thrown back, they are not allowed beyond those places to listen to the angels and to have the divine secrets from them. So there are some places we can't understand up till now. At least I can't understand, but I have to believe in it. Quran says there are places in the heavens, and we have to believe it. Maybe our knowledge about astronomy, when it further progresses, then the reality and the real meanings of these ayat are revealed. تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا. And he has put in these heavens a lamp. What is meant here is the sun. And the word used is very appropriate because there is the process of combustion is going on today. That you know the process of combustion is going on in the sun. So it is siraj. Wa qamaram munira. And the moon is only, you know, a shining moon. No process of combustion is going on in the moon. So Quran has made a distinction between sun as siraj, as a lamp in which oil burns. And you know something which is shining. And we know today that the moon is reflecting the light of sun. It has no light of its own. Nothing, no combustion. Nothing is burning in it. So these words are appropriate. This part of the ayah we can understand today. But I think in the same way, inshallah, the first of the ayah will also reveal itself. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. I have quoted that ayah of Surah Hamim al-Sajdah many times before. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً لِمَنْ عَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ وَرَادَ شُكُورًا. And it is He who has made the night and the day following each other. They are coming after each other. لِمَنْ عَرَادَ. And all these things are for a person who intends, who has an inclination to have reminding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr, tazakkur. أَوْ عَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Or who has inclination towards gratefulness. These things we have discussed that in human nature, if that nature is not perverted, there is the essential faculty of gratefulness to anybody who does some good to him. And the intellect, human intellect, should be able to recognize the real benefactor, and he is Allah. So shukr for Allah, just as we found in the second section of Surah Luqman, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. In the same way we read in the last section of Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His complete wisdom, all these things, the physical phenomena, they are all signs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two ayat have summarized our long discussions about the synthesis of Iman. And now starts the essence of this lesson for this selected course of study. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. And the true bondsmen of Rahman, the beloved bondsmen of Rahman, are those who walk on this earth gently, modestly, humbly. They are not arrogant. They are not haughty. Because though they have recognized their position in this universe, they are created, and they have a creator. Creator is high, and you, whosoever has any understanding of the height and the place of the creator, well, he will go down. He will be humble, just as we saw in the previous lesson. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. خَشَع means to go down, to go down. So the same is their attitude, it's their permanent trait of character. That they are not haughty, they are not arrogant, they are not very proud type of people, looking down upon others. No, they have humility. They are humble. They walk gently on the earth. When even they are walking, you know, the whole character, you know, is reflected in their gait. That they are not haughty people, they are humble people, they are gentle people. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Now, jahil, the ignorant people, the foolish people, people who are acting under their animal instincts, who are governed by their animal instincts, who act impulsively, they are jahilun. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ. And when these foolish people, they try to involve them into some argument. Not for sake of understanding. Argument for the sake of argument. So they don't indulge, they don't involve themselves in such arguments. They take their leave, saying to them, we want peace. We don't want any quarreling. No argument. Whatever we believe, we are presenting before you. If it appeals to you, accept it. If it doesn't appeal to you, well, okay. You be with what you think. And let us be with what we are thinking and what we are believing. So actually this should be the attitude. of a mature person. He doesn't go and argue and argue and argue, and he is not after a person that he will have him believe what he is believing. He must see with wisdom. When a person is receptive, in a receptive mood, only at that time he should talk to him. When one feels that he is not in a mood to listen, he is not in a mood to understand, he is at this time only joking, he doesn't want to understand, then just take leave, go away, okay. We shall talk at some other time. At this time, you know, I fail to understand what you are saying, and maybe you are not understanding what I am saying. So let us postpone our dialogue. We can talk at a later time. So this is the maturity of a person. Even in making dawah, you have to be wise. You have to be mature. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. بَاتَ يَبِيتُ means to pass the night. And those who pass and spend their nights prostrating before their Lord and standing before Him. Now this is the salah that is nafl, that is additional, that is tahajjud, the night prayer. It's not imperative. When we were studying the first lesson, that was the salah, the five prayers which have to be established. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. But here a person who has been fully reformed, purified of soul, a person who has attained some level of purification of his inner self, now he will not only establish the five prayers which are imperative for every Muslim, additionally he will stand in the night before his Lord. Just as the first commandment of prayer that came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of the prayer of the night. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلُ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Half of the night or two-thirds of the night or at least one-third of the night, O Muhammad, keep standing before him, before your Lord, and keep on reciting his words, his kalam, the Qur'an. So that was actually the beginning of salah. Then as time passed and these five prayers a day were made, you know, first and imperative, then this portion, this was made optional. Now it is nafl. Whosoever can do it, should do it. But actually now at this level, the person who have attained to this level of purification of their inner soul, they will be including this part of prayer also in their daily routine. And this is what we call tahajjud. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ. They pass their nights before their Lord. يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Sometimes they are prostrating. And it once happened that the Prophet ﷺ, once he, in one rakah, he recited the Qur'an, Suratul Baqarah, Suratul Ali Imran, Suratul Nisa. Three big surahs of the Qur'an he recited in one rakah. But that was the prayer of night, not the daily prayers. Because in daily prayers, which are first, other people are there, maybe somebody is very busy, somebody is ill or sick. So those daily prayers, they have to be, you know, very precise. But this night prayer, it can be as lengthy as you like. It's up to you. Yabituna. Many nights pass in this condition that the Prophet whole night, as I told you that the night when the last ayat of Surah Ali Imran were revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that the whole time he was weeping, standing and weeping, then in prostration and weeping. Then for a while he lay on his side, even then he was weeping. The whole night he kept weeping. And when Hazrat Bilal came in the morning, calling him for the Fajr prayer, that the Salah, the Jama'ah is ready, please come and lead the prayer. And then he saw that the Prophet was weeping, he asked, مَا يُبْكِيكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven you all your mistakes, if there can be any. On the one hand, you are masoom, you are infallible. You can't commit any gunah or any sin or any masiyah. But if there is any possibility of any mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven you. But then why are you weeping? Then he said, O Bilal, why should I weep? This night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me these ayat, and then he read you those ayat, which are in the ان دی لاسٹ رکو آف سورۃ آل عمران، ان فی خلق السماوات والارض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآیات لأولی الالباب الى آخر السورۃ. سو دس واز دی کنڈیشن آف دی پروفٹ ڈیورنگ سم نائٹس، بٹ ناٹ آل دی نائٹس، بٹ ہی ہیڈ اے پارٹ آف دی نائٹ دیٹ صلاۃ التہجد اٹ واز نیئرلی فرض فار ہم، ہی ڈیلی ہی واز سیئنگ دس تہجد پریئر. بٹ ہیئر آئی اونلی وانٹڈ ٹو میک دی پوائنٹ دیٹ ان دیٹ پریویس لیسن وی ہیو دیٹ امپیریٹو صلاح، الصلاۃ المفروضہ دی اسینشل، بٹ ہیئر اٹ از دی نفل اینڈ اسپیشلی آف دی نائٹ. والذین یبیتون لربہم سجدا وقیاما والذین یقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جہنم، اینڈ دوز ہو سے اینڈ پرے ٹو دیئر اللہ ٹو دیئر رب، ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جہنم، او اور لارڈ اوائڈ فرام اس دی پنشمنٹ آف جہنم، ان عذابہا کان غراما. There is no doubt, verily, the punishment of Jahannam is everlasting. It's to continue. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. And we very well know that it's a very bad place, that Jahannam, as a mustaqar as well as a maqam. Now what's the difference? Mustaqar is a place where somebody lives permanently. A permanent abode is mustaqar. And where you are staying temporarily, it is maqam. So Jahannam is so bad a place, not only for permanent abode, also if you enter for a moment, it will reveal all the bitterness in it. Because we have, usually we have certain standards and notions, even the worst place, the desert Sahara of Africa, even if you have to go there for some time, you will feel recreated, a change. It changes the recreation. If you go to the best place on earth, you go to Switzerland, you go to Kashmir, it will appear very fine. But if you have to live there, it will lose all charm. So here in this ruku you will find that about Jahannam it is said, Saat mustaqarram wa maqama. It's very bad as a permanent abode also, and for a temporary stay also. And for Jannat we shall find in the end of this section, حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. It's very good, very beautiful. As a permanent abode also, and as a temporary stay also. Even if you live there permanently, you will not get bored, because your interest will be kept alive. So that is in contrast, simultaneous contrast, Jahannam, سَاتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا, and Jannah, حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And those who when they spend, they are neither prodigal or wasteful or extravagant, nor they are miserly or niggardly, but they have a middle of the road attitude. كَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Not going to extremes. You have to spend. You spend, but not lavishly. You shouldn't be spendthrift, not extravagant, but not miserly also. There should be a middle of the road attitude. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. This israf is very bad. The needs of your body you have to fulfill. But if you are taking several meals, several dishes in one dinner or one lunch, it is israf. Actually israf, واللہ لا يحب المسرفين كلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا. Eat and drink, but don't go beyond the limits. Israf is without any need. You are spending without any need. You must have a nourishing food. You must have a balanced food as far as you can afford. But not that you have several dishes cooked every time. This is israf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا. You must have some clothing, but having so many wardrobes full of clothes, not being used, used once and then left over. This is all israf. And actually, one will have to account for these things on the Day of Judgment. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا. Neither israf, nor وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. Nor one should be miserly or niggardly. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. A balanced attitude in life. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. Now this ayah is very important, because it is giving the three biggest crimes and biggest sins according to Islam and Quran. The biggest crime or sin is shirk. Number two, killing any human being without any reason, legal requirement. And number three, adultery or fornication. These are the biggest crimes. And actually this ayah will be discussed in a later lesson. The two sections of Surah Bani Israel, the third and fourth, the main essence of that whole lesson would be based on these three things. So here we are passing briefly from this ayah, that this is a concept in one ayah, that these are the three things which are the biggest sins, akbarul kabair, the biggest crimes in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are they? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. And those who don't invoke and call or pray any other imaginary God alongside with Allah. You are calling Allah also, praying Allah also. And you are invoking the help of somebody else also. Whether he is some angel or some prophet or some saint, it makes no difference. If you are calling anybody, making dua to anybody, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know you can call for help according to the physical laws. If I ask some friend of mine, some brother of mine, fetch me a glass of tumbler of water, there's no harm. He is doing it in the physical world, physical laws. But whenever in the ghaib, somebody who is not present there and somebody who is not acting physically, according to the physical laws, whosoever he may be, whether he was a prophet or an angel or some saint or some holy person, if you call him for help, if you invoke him in your dua, you are making shirk. So this is the clear injunction. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَا اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. And I told you that the mushriks of Arab, they believed in Allah and they believed that he is the sole creator of all universe. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. So many times in the Quran, this thing has been said repeatedly, that if you ask these mushriks, who created all these heavens and the earth? They will say, surely, only Allah. But they had also some imaginary deities with them, some gods and goddesses, Lat and Manat and Uzza, and they were calling and invoking their help also. So that is the shirk. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. They used to call Allah also. Allahumma, Allahumma. Let me mention here. The night before Badr, Abu Jahl prayed to Allah only, to none else. Allahumma aqta'una lirrahm faqzihil ghadat. That was his prayer. Oh Allah, whosoever has broken our blood relations, you humiliate him tomorrow. Because the biggest crime of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his eye was that he has separated sons from fathers, husbands from wives. A house divided amongst itself cannot stand. Our tribe Quraysh, it was the strongest tribe of Arabia. But now when it is divided amongst itself, husbands separated from wives, parents and their offspring separated from each other, brothers separated from each other. Utbah ibn Rabia, one of his sons, eldest, he became a mu'min and Muslim, Huzaifa ibn Utbah. And the other, Walid ibn Utbah, he was with him fighting from the side of the kuffar on the day of Badr. So what that happened? When Utbah came forward and he challenged Muslims, anybody from you, can he come and fight me? Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, his real son, he wanted to go forward to fight his father. But the Prophet, he waved, no, not you. Somebody else should go there. But there were the brothers against brothers. Fathers against sons. Abu Bakr was with Muhammad. And Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, he came with the kuffar. They were in opposite camps. So Abu Jahl prayed to Allah, Allahumma aqta'una lirraham. Whosoever has broken our rahmi rishte, our connections of the raham, the real brothers, they have become enemies. So whosoever has done this crime, this harm to us, you humiliate him tomorrow. That was his prayer. But he never invoked any Lat or Uzza or Hubal or Manat, nobody else. Allah. So they prayed to Allah also. But at times they also pray to others, and that was their shirk. May Allah save us from that type of shirk. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Don't kill human lives whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared sacred, sacred. Human life is sacred. It cannot be taken. Except in one of the four conditions, please remember. Either a kafir who is harbi, with whom war has already been declared. Not every kafir. You cannot kill any kafir, any unbeliever, at your free will, whenever you like. No, no. When there is a war declared, when the kafir is harbi, with whom the war has been declared, you can kill him. A Muslim, if he is married and he commits adultery, then stoned to death. This is the second form. Third, a Muslim, if he has murdered any Muslim willfully, then maybe the person who was murdered, if his relatives, they forgive him, they can do it. If they accept the blood money, it's also possible. But if they demand, no, life for life, then his life will be taken. So there are only, and a murtad in Islamic State, a Muslim, if he converts from Islam, he leaves Islam, goes outside the pale of Islam, he has to be murdered, he has to be killed. Life has to be taken. But no other form of killing a Muslim is allowed, or killing a human being is allowed. Not to speak of Muslims only. No human being can be killed except in one of these four conditions. And that is here referred to as illa bil haq. This human life can be taken only when it is required by justice and law, the law of Sharia. Wala yaznoon, and the third biggest masiya and sin is zina, that is fornication, that is adultery. وَمَنْ يَفَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَى سَامَا. Whosoever does this, commit any of these acts, يَلْقَى سَامَا, he will have to meet the punishment. Asam is from ism. Ism is sin. And asam is the reward of that sin. يَلْقَى سَامَا. These are the biggest crimes, biggest sins. And whosoever commits any one of them, he will have to meet the punishment. يُضَافْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, his punishment will be doubled. Now this ayah is very important regarding one disputed subject. And that because it has been disputed these days, because some of the brothers, some of Muslims, they are not attaching enough importance to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a fitna. There are misguided people who say that hadith is not important. And they say that azab-e-qabr, that is because it is not been described in the Quran, and azab or reward, good reward or punishment, there should be logically after the day of judgment. So if the ahadith say that there is going to be some punishment, some sort of punishment or some sort of reward during that period between the death of a person and the resurrection, there's a long period in between, which we call alam-e-barzakh. This is the in-between. So there are so many ahadith which tell that each grave is either a pit among the pits of Jahannam or a small garden among the gardens of Jannah. What does it mean? And there's another saying that in each grave, either a window is opened from Jahannam and heat is coming, and you know hot air is coming from there. Or a window is opened from Jannah. So these things, because they have been told to us by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this regards the alam-e-ghayb. We don't know, we can't see. This is actually a part of ghayb. About ghayb, we have to believe him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the first condition laid by the Quran in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah is hudan lil muttaqin allazeena yu'minuna bil ghayb. And we don't have any source to know ghayb except what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. But here is a Quranic argument also in favor of this azab-e qabr. Because these are the words, yuzaf lahul azabu yawm al-qiyamah. On the day of judgment, their punishment will be doubled. What does it mean? There is some sort of punishment before also. Although this punishment actually resembles just what we have in dreams. Somebody sees a dream which is frightening, and all those effects are on his body, on his nerves. He's sweating like anything. He's trembling because he saw a very frightening dream. Or if someone is dreaming, some very good dream is coming to him. So he is feeling pleasant and he is happy. So all these effects occur, although there is nothing actually there. So actually people will enter paradise, or actually people will enter Jahannam after the day of judgment. But before that day, there is a reflection of their final destiny. What is going to happen to them after the day of judgment? There is a reflection on them, and this is actually what we call a barzakh. And not necessarily the grave, people who are drowned. We should say it's the alam-e-barzakh. Is this intervening period also, between our death here and the resurrection on the day of judgment, during this period also there is a reflection of the final fate that we shall have on the day of judgment. So this is a proof from Quran. يُضَافْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُحَانًا. And he will remain and live there in that punishment. Muhana. And you know, he'll be very much humiliated, disgraced. And he will remain there forever. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except those who make tawbah. Now what is tawbah? Tawbah yatubu means to return. Returning towards Allah. Returning towards His obedience. Because when you committed a sin, you broke some of His laws. You acted against some of His injunctions. As if you turned your face away from Him. Now you repent. You have a deep feeling that I have done something wrong. I shouldn't have done it. Then there is a feeling, I must return to my Allah. I should ask for His forgiveness. This is tawbah. And the conditions of tawbah, they have been enumerated by the ulama from various ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For each tawbah to be true, it should fulfill three conditions. Number one, there should be real and actual repentance. Number two, there should be a firm resolve not to commit that act or that sin again. And number three, to actually give it up once. You have to give it up. Unless you fulfill these three conditions, you only repeat the words of tawbah, Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. You might be repeating it 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times. It's not tawbah at all. These are the necessary preconditions of a true tawbah. We shall have this word in the next lesson, that is Surah At-Tahrim. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Oh, you who believe, turn towards Allah. Make tawbah towards Allah, but this should be a pure tawbah with the total sincerity. Not that you are just repeating the words of tawbah and you have made it also a zikr, going on repeating the words. This is not tawbah unless, as I told you, three conditions. And these three conditions are regarding the sins which are related to the rights of Allah. If there is some sin relating to the right of a man, then there is a fourth additional condition. Three conditions the same. True repentance in your heart. Firm resolve never to commit that act again. Thirdly, to actually give it up. And fourthly, to ask forgiveness or compensate the person whom you had done committed some injury. It's only He who can forgive. Allah will not forgive you. Huququllah, He will forgive. He has told us that you can help, you can hope that I will forgive you my huquq. You can have the hope, but I am not going to forgive the huquq of the people. Only they can forgive. And that is why once the Prophet asked a question from the Sahaba, Atadruna manil muflis? Do you know who is a poor person? Muflis, who has no money? The answer was, the people were astonished why the Prophet has asked this question. They said, Al muflis indana man la dirhama lahu wa la dinara. O Messenger of Allah, we think that a person who doesn't possess any dirham nor dinar, well, he is a muflis. He said, no. The muflis of my ummah will be a person who will come on the day of judgment with a very big load of salah, very big load of form, and it is, you know, maybe hajj and umrahs. But he has abused that person. He has cheated that person. He took away the money wrongfully from that person. And now those claimants will come before Allah. Allah, he cheated me. He deprived me of my certain right. He deprived me of my money. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give somebody, some claimant, all his prayers. You go, take his prayers. Because there is no cash now. You can't pay in dollars or in dinars or dirham. The only cash is the good deeds that you have brought with you. You can compensate only with the good deeds. So all his prayers will be given to some claimant. All his psalms and fasting given to another. Till that time that no good deeds remain with him. And the claimants are still there. Then their gunah, their sins will be added to his account. Well, put your sins in scale. And he will be sent and thrown into Jahannam, into the fire of hell, due to the sins of other people. The Prophet said, he is the real muflis of my ummah. So that was the natural way of his teaching people. Asking a question, Atadruna manil muflis? Do you know who is a muflis? Well, al-muflisu indana, ballah dirama lahu ala dinara. La. Al-muflisu min ummati is such and such person. So this is the fourth additional condition of tawbah regarding sins and ill-doings which are related to the rights of people. Illa man taba, except that person who makes tawbah, wa amana. And he either has fresh iman or has revived iman. Because when he committed sin, his iman came out of his heart. There is another hadith that a person who commits a big crime, iman comes out of his heart. It hovers round his head like a bird. If he makes a tawbah, iman returns to his heart. If he doesn't make a tawbah, it goes away. So that is actually what is meant here. Real tawbah means as if you have revitalized or revived your iman, which iman has gone from you. Because it is impossible that you have real iman in your heart and you are committing a sin. How come? How possible? Impossible. You are seeing that a car is present, the cop is there. And you can't do now overspeeding. Because the cop is there. And if you see and if you feel, if you remember, Allah is here seeing me and I am in his presence. How can you commit any sin and how can you break his law? Only when that faith has become very weak, then you can do something wrong. And then, you know, the Prophet says, the iman comes out of his heart and hovers round his head like a bird. And if he commits, and if he performs a tawbah, real tawbah, tawbatul nasuh, then the iman returns to his heart, otherwise it goes away. Man taba wa amana wa amila salihan. And then when he has revived iman, he must do good deeds. If there is iman, there must be good deeds. It's a proof of his iman. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. So regarding such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be kind enough to change their evil deeds into good deeds. Real tawbah is something very high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who make tawbah, but true tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. Because to err is human. Al-insanu murakkabun min al-khata'i wal-nisyan. Every human being has these two things attached to him permanently. Forgetfulness, he forgets. And then there is some mistake of judgment. Khata. You are aiming somewhere else and your bullet has gone somewhere else. This is khata. So khata and nisyan. Judgment, error of judgment and forgetting. These two things are with every human being. With some they are more, with some they are less. But they are attached to every human being. Al-insanu murakkabun min al-khata'i wal-nisyan. But if you have committed something wrong, and immediately you have repentance, you turn to your Lord, you ask His forgiveness, you make a firm promise, oh Allah, I will not do it again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He accepts the tawbah. And not only that, He forgives that sin or crime that you committed, He changes that crime into a good deed. Because we have committed a tawbah in the true sense of the word. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor. He is forgiving and rahim and he is merciful. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And whosoever makes tawbah and then does good deeds, فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. So it is he who is really making tawbah. He is turning to Allah as he should have turned to Allah. This he has fulfilled actually the requirements of tawbah, because now he has given up his bad deeds and he is now doing good deeds. So this is a proof that he has made a real tawbah, an actual tawbah and a true tawbah. Now again, this was a very important subject, but here again, this was not directly concerned with our lesson. Because this selected course of study, we have placed this part of the Quran, this passage, this last ruku, regarding the glimpses of a mature Muslim mu'min person, his character, his glimpses. So now again the same subject is continuing. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. And those who not only give false witnesses, but the real meaning of these words is who don't want to be present wherever there is something wrong and evil going on. Shahida yashado means to be present. Shahid means who is present. Shahid and ghaib. The last words of the last sermon of the last Hajj of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were فَلْيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. Now who are present here, who have heard my talk, it's their duty. They should convey it to others who are not present. So ghaib and shahid. Shahida yashadu means to be present somewhere. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. Had it been لَا يَشْهَدُونَ بِالزُّورِ, then it would have been testifying something to something that is wrong. But it is not ba here. يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. They don't want to be present where something wrong is being done. They are so much committed to truth and justice that they are not ready to be present at a place where something wrong, something sinful, something unjust is being done. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. The same thing that we had in the previous lesson. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. So again the same lagh. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ. They cannot aim at something lagh. Intentionally they don't go to something which is futile and useless, meaningless. Neither any need of this world, this life is fulfilled by that, nor you are earning something for the hereafter. So any act, anything which falls in this category, to go there with any intention, it doesn't become of these people at all. But if perchance they have to pass by those things, there is going on some, you know, some tamasha is going on, some show is going on, some madari is somewhere showing his feet. So actually these people, if perchance they pass from there, they pass with dignity and honor. They don't take interest in this. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. And those who, when they are reminded with the ayat of their Rabb, sermons are given to them. But that sermon is not somebody else's kalam, somebody else's speech, but the sermon is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his ayat, with his kalam. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا ثُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَا. They don't fall on it deaf and blind. They listen to it. They think over these ayat. They ponder over them. Then they accept whatever is appealing to their minds and hearts. They accept it. This is their attitude. Actually, it's a contrast being shown to the people, you know, the kuffar of Quraysh. They were not listening. Whenever they used to hear Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if they were listening with deaf ears. They didn't want to listen. And they were ready, pre-decided to oppose and say it is wrong. So this is not the condition of these people. They are always ready to listen, to ponder over these. لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا ثُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَا. And the last thing is, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ. And those who say, who keep praying, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O our Lord, give us happiness of our eyes, from our wives or spouses, and from our children. Their biggest desire about their family is that they should also come on this path, path of Allah, way of Allah. They should also turn towards this path. They should also be Ibadur Rahman. They should also attain taqwa. They should also become practicing mu'min. So this is the biggest desire. Just compare to the desire that we have within our hearts about our children. We think about only the worldly careers. What education is more paying? What degree is more in demand? What profession has more promises? So these are the things that we think about our daughters and sons. You are far about daughters, we arrange marriages, the best marriage that we can arrange. But we never think about the hereafter. What will be their condition in the hereafter? What education are we giving them about their deen? Not thinking about it. But these people, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, they keep on praying. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. This ayah, is the second part of this ayah, is generally misunderstood. وَاجْعَلْنَا, and make us imam, leaders of the muttaqis, as if they wanted to be leaders, to have position of fame or name or strength or authority. No. Every human being is a natural leader. He is leader for his family. He is the head of the family. O Allah, for whom you have made us leaders, natural leaders, make them muttaqi. We shouldn't be leading fusaq and fujjar. And the day of resurrection, when we shall be going towards Maidan-e-Hashr, everybody will have his sons and daughters behind him coming. So we should be followed on that day by muttaqeen, your bondsmen and bondswomen. My son, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughters, they should be muttaqi. Because I'll be walking in front of them, towards your hashr, towards your court. So people behind me shouldn't be fusaq and fujjar and kuffar. They should be muttaqi. They should be your abd. They should be muhsineen. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. For whom you have put us as leaders. Now you just imagine, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he will have his four sons, Shah Abdul Aziz, Shah Abdul Qadir, Shah Rafiuddin. And you know Shah Abdul Ghani, he died young. But his son Shah Ismail Shaheed, Rahimahullah, he compensated because he couldn't be famous. Few people know his name. They will be coming after Shah Abdul Rahim. And Shah Waliullah. And Shah Waliullah would be walking behind his father, Shah Abdul Rahim. What a father, what a son, and what the grandsons are. So every Muslim should have this desire in his heart, that when I am resurrected, and when my progeny is resurrected, when we will be walking towards that Maidan-e-Hashr, people coming behind me should not be fusaq or fujjar, not be the evildoers, not be the kuffar, but they should be muttaqi. So that is their desire. And I tell you, this is a meter with which you can measure the real virtuousness or only apparent virtuousness of a person. If a person is really virtuous, he will be trying his best to take his sons and daughters in this direction. And if he is only an outward muttaqi, outwardly virtuous, virtuous only to show people, he will not be doing anything for his sons and daughters to take them to this direction. He will only be looking for their future in this world, not the future, the real future of the hereafter. This is the litmus test, which you call in chemistry, to prove whether it is acidic or alkaline. Litmus test. What a person is trying to make out of his sons and daughters, that is his real inner personality. That is his real values, which are reflected in what he is trying. Maybe he fails. It's just possible. Just possible you have done your best, but you know your son is not accepting your advice. He's going astray. It's just possible. If one son of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam could go astray, well, the sons of any person, the most pious person even, can go astray. But he had four sons. Three adopted to his way, and only one went astray. Not yet, not the all of them. Actually, if all of them are going on other direction, it is a definite proof that the person himself actually was something else from within. And what he appeared to be was only apparent, an outside presentation of his personality. So this is very important, a litmus test of inner personality of a person. وَالَّذِينَ یقولون ربنا ہب لنا من ازواجنا وذریاتنا قرۃ اعین واجعلنا للمتقین اماما اولئک یجزون الغرفۃ بما صبروا. These are the people who will be rewarded high places in Jannah. Urfa, high place. The high stories of the buildings, Urfa. Ulaika yujzawna al-ghurfata bima sabaru. Because they were persevering, they were steadfast, they were forbearing, they were patient in their life. Patient in what? Not trying to gather money or wealth, but to have their eyes on the hereafter. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. The truly wise is a person who subdues his animal instincts and he is working for the life which is to start after death. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. Wa yulaqqawna fiha tahiyyatan wa salama. And they will be welcomed there with greetings and good wishes. The angels at the doors of the paradise will say, welcome. Salamun alaik. There will be salam. There will be tahiyyah. There will be good wishes. There will be welcome awaiting them. Khalidina fiha. And they will remain there forever, forever. They will abide there. They will dwell there forever, forever. And now come those words which I referred to already in the beginning. Hasunat mustaqarram wa muqama. That paradise, that Jannah is very good, very beautiful. As a permanent abode also, and as a temporary stay also. Even if you live it forever, 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 live there, you will not be bored. You will not feel fed up with it. Because charms will be increasing. The new charms will be kept adding to it. Hasanat mustaqarram wa maqama, and Jahannam, saat mustaqarram wa maqama. And now the last ayah, this actually concerns the first two ayat. The first two ayat, they concerned and they were related to the Iman Billah. Now this is Iman Bil Risala. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَوْ بِكُمْ رَبِّي. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't think my Rabb, my Lord, my Sustainer cares for you. لَوْلَا دُعَاوَكُمْ. It has two meanings. Had there been no prayers from you, you have been praying us. You know, people were praying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I told you. Even the kuffar, the mushrikeen, they used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have been praying to us, so we have sent a messenger for your guidance. And number two is, lawla du'aakum, it's our law. We don't send the final punishment till we send a messenger to warn. وَمَا كُنَّا It has not been our law to send the final punishment to a nation without sending a warner, a Rasul first. So now we sent the Rasul and now you have denied him. Now that you have rejected and belied our messenger, فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا. So the results, the punishment will be tied to you forever. It will cling to you forever. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.